another similar story took place. There was a great Digvijay pandit of the name Rup Narayan. He traveled all over the various provinces of India, and he defeated everyone in debate. And he came to Vrindavan. And he had a certificate where everyone he defeated had to sign, "I have been defeated by Rup Narayan." It was called a Vijay Patra. He went to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Said, "I challenge you to debate." Rupa and Sanatan were very humble. They said, "You are such a big scholar. We are just living in the forest. How can we debate with you? Why should you even waste your time with us? We admit defeat. If you admit defeat, then sign this document." They immediately, without hesitation, they signed, "We have been defeated by Rup Narayan," signed by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. He was very, very proud. But he understood that Jiva Goswami, their nephew, was also a great scholar, and he should defeat him also. So Rup Narayan went to Jiva Goswami and said, "I have defeated your uncles in debate. See, they have signed defeat." He considered, "My uncles are such humble devotees. They didn't even argue with him. They didn't want to waste their time with this rascal. But he's now propagating all over the world that he has defeated them. He must be silenced. Yes, I accept your challenge." They sat on the bank of the Jamuna debating for many days, and in the end, Jiva Goswami completely defeated Rup Narayan, who left in shame, never to come back to Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami told the news to Srila Rupa Goswami, and once again Srila Rupa Goswami became very angry. "Why you wasted your time arguing with this mundane scholar just for your own prestige and victory? Vrindavan has no place for a person who wants respect and adoration. Therefore, you must leave. You are not fit to stay here with us." So Jiva Goswami went to Mathura, and he lived there in a little kutir. And in his heart he was thinking, "I am so proud. I am so puffed up. My guru is displeased. How can I atone? What kind of disciple is this? Actually, he made no offense on either occasion." Jiva Goswami, in great humility, was just trying to defend the prestige and the glory of his Guru Maharaj and the respectability of our whole sampradaya. Therefore, what he did was perfect. And Sri Rupa Goswami knew that. But Rupa Goswami wanted to reveal the world the glories of Jiva Goswami. Even though he was 100% right, when his guru said he was proud, he considered, "Yes, I am proud and I am condemned." He did not make excuses. "Oh, Guru Maharaj, you are wrong. You don't understand. I did it for you, not for me." His Guru Maharaj said, "You are proud." Jiva Goswami, to the core of his heart, he felt, "I am proud. I am not fit to live in Vrindavan. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishna na amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I am not following the principles of Mahaprabhu. Therefore, my life is ruined." And he went to Mathura to perform tapasya, crying out the holy name of Krishna constantly, crying out the names of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, begging for their mercy. And Sanatan Goswami came to Mathura and found him. And he brought him back. And he told Srila Rupa Goswami, I would like you to know that you are not following one of the important teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Now, Rupa Goswami was also an ocean of humility. He did not say, "What do you mean? I'm following." Rupa Goswami said, "Oh, please tell me which one I am not following." Sanatana Goswami said, "Please, you speak. What are the principal teachings?" "Developing a taste for the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Always aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, and being compassionate to all jivas." When Rupa Goswami said, "Being compassionate to all jivas," he understood what Sanatana was saying. And Sanatana brought Jiva back, and Rupa Goswami embraced him very affectionately. Actually, through all these beautiful pastimes, Rupa Goswami was showing his most infinite love to Jiva Goswami. So much Rupa Goswami loved Srila Jiva Goswami that Rupa Goswami, with his own hands, he personally carved the deity of Sri Radha Damodar, worshipped that deity, and then entrusted it to Srila Jiva Goswami to worship as his life and soul. When Sri Jiva Goswami would worship Sri Radha Damodar, his mind was always constantly immersed in the deepest love and gratitude to Srila Rupa Goswami. It is explained that Srila Jiva Goswami's heart was always meditating on serving and pleasing Sri Rupa Goswami, his Guru Maharaj. And by the mercy of Rupa Goswami, when he would worship Radha Damodar, sometimes he would see the deity performing his Vrindavan pastimes right before his eyes. He would hear him playing on his flute. One day, Srila Sanatana Goswami was coming back from Govardhan Hill, and he came to meet Srila Rupa Goswami. The Goswamis would always discuss their beautiful writings of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So Rupa Goswami, upon Sanatana's request, began to explain one of his dramas. And in this drama, Rupa Goswami compared the beautiful braids of the luxurious black hair of Sri Radharani and the gopis to be like black serpents. So Sanatana Goswami, he said that this is not a perfect explanation. And you should change it to some other analogy. Then Sanatana Goswami left and went to take bath in one of the holy places of Vrindavan, a small lake. And there he saw some beautiful, beautiful young girls taking their bath in the lake. And they had long black braids in their hair. And these braids looked just like snakes. In fact, Sanatana Goswami thought they were snakes. And he started calling out to the girls, "Watch out, watch out! There's snakes about to bite your heads! Watch out!" And then Sanatana Goswami very quickly began to move through the waters to rescue these girls from these snakes. And when he just approached the girls, they began to laugh and smile, and they disappeared. Sanatana Goswami understood that Rupa Goswami's explanation was correct. And he came back to Rupa Goswami and said, "Please do not change. What you have said is perfect." Another time, Srila Rupa Goswami desired to make a nice feast for Sanatan Goswami. But they were just doing Madhukar. How many of you have done Madhukar? That means like a bee. You just, like a bee goes flower to flower to get little nectar. Similarly, traditionally those in the renounced order of life, they go from house to house and they beg something little from each house for their sustenance. And in Vrindavan, it is a place that's very poor. Actually, for almost a year, I did Madhukari in Vrindavan. And all I ever got was some dry rotis and sometimes a little dal. Nothing else. No one will give you anything else. But then Srila Prabhupada came with ISKCON devotees in a big bus. They were staying in Sharaf Bhavan, 1971. And I was thinking, oh, Prabhupada has come. Let me go and stay with him while he's here. So I stayed as long as he was there. I would sleep on the bank of the Jamuna and then come to the place. And every day he would give Bhagavatam class, and then he would take devotees to all the holy places of Vrindavan and explain the parikram of the various holy spots. And then we would come back in the afternoon, and there would be lunch. I was shocked. There was sabji. And there was butter on the rotis. Sometimes even ghee. And there was chutneys. And jalebis. And laddu. And kheer every day. I was thinking, two things were going on in my mind. One is, what kind of sadhus are this? And the other was, this is wonderful prasad. Why should I ever leave this place? Anyways, I left. So, Rupa Goswami was thinking, let me make something nice as a feast for my brother Sanatan Goswami, after offering to Taradha Govinda. So, a beautiful, beautiful little girl, a cowherd girl, approached Rupa Goswami and had all wonderful pot of kheer and said, I would like to present this to you, Goswamiji. And he was very much surprised. And he brought it back to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami began to eat it. As soon as he tasted it, he just went into uncontrollable ecstasy. And Rupa Goswami was also eating it along with him, and he was going into uncontrollable ecstasy. Every time they would taste this sweet rice, there were just tears pouring from their eyes, their hairs were standing on ends, they were trembling, they were just roaring in ecstatic love. Sanatan Goswami said, where did you get this from? Rupa Goswami said, there was a beautiful little cowherd girl that just gave it to me as a donation. Describe, who is this cowherd girl? As he described, Sanatan Goswami understood it was Srimati Radharani. And he became very much ashamed and sad. You have accepted service from our supremely worshipable Srimati Radharani. It is our eternal position to be the servant of the servant of her servants. And you have accepted service from her. And you have caused me to accept service from her. This is against the principles of our Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will. And they both felt so bad. They wanted to teach us. that the mood of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always to be the servant. We don't even want the ecstatic bliss of the spiritual world as much as we want the service of the Lord and His devotees. Of course, although they felt very ashamed, still the taste of the sweet rice was so ecstatic they could not stop eating it. On another occasion, Srila Rupa Goswami had just written his first draft of Lalita Madhava. Lalita Madhava describes the intense separation between Sri Sri Radharani and Krishna. And it describes the separation of the gopis for Krishna especially. So Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was living at Sri Radha Kund, he received that manuscript of Lalita Madhava. He is the Prayojana Acharya, who is teaching by his writings and his example the highest principles of love and separation as an associate of Sri Radharani. And when he read Lalita Madhava, he was so much engrossed in that feeling of separation that Srila Rupa Goswami had so beautifully described that he went mad. There were just tears pouring out of his eyes, and he just held the book, Lalita Madhava, to his heart, and he was just crying out and crying out. He could not even communicate with anyone. The devotees informed Rupa Goswami of what happened to Raghunath Das Goswami. So Srila Rupa Goswami very quickly wrote another book called the Dhanakeli Komudi, which describes the ecstatic meeting of Radha and Krishna. And he went directly to Sri Radha Kund, and he said to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, "I want you to read this nice new book that I have written. And as far as that Lalita Madhava, some corrections are necessary, so give it back to me." Raghunath Das Goswami read Dhanakeli Komudi, describing the beautiful reunion or sambhog of Radha and Krishna, and his heart became completely pacified and filled with joy. Rupa Goswami would perform his bhajan in various places of Braja. He had one bhajan kutir just outside the precincts of Nandagaon. And there was a kadamba tree that he would often do his bhajan and his writings. It is called today Terakadamba. And that tree was so much affected by the bhakti of Rupa Goswami. Actually, the pure love of a devotee could melt the hearts of both the animate and inanimate living beings, because the love of such a pure soul directly influences the spirit soul. Of course, the trees of Vrindavan are Kalpa Vriksha. They are intimate associates of Lord Krishna and very blessed. Srila Rupa Goswami would sometimes sit under this tree, and under the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would compose various literatures. When he was composing a section describing the ecstatic lamentation of the separation of Radharani and Krishna from each other, he would be so engrossed that it would influence the tree to be completely engrossed in that same feeling of separation as Rupa Goswami. and all the leaves of that tree would fall like tears. When Srila Rupa Goswami would write about the blissful reunion of Radha and Krishna, the tree sharing the experience of Rupa Goswami's ecstatic love, immediately would blossom fruits and flowers in every direction. One time, Sri Rupa Goswami was sitting in his bhajan kutir, and he began to meditate on the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And such a pure-hearted soul, Radha and Krishna would reveal their pastimes within their hearts. This cannot be imitated. This was not something he was artificially concentrating or meditating on. This was something that was just being awakened due to his pure love. So this particular pastime, he was seeing that the Sakis were arranging Sri Radharani to meet with Krishna. And they were decorating her in so many beautiful garments and jewelry. And the Sakis came to notice that Krishna was right behind them watching everything. But Srimati Radharani did not know. So they wanted to inform her. They just finished decorating her hair, and they placed a mirror in front of her face. As she looked into the mirror, behind her she saw the reflection of her beloved Shamsundar. And being so much surprised, she became embarrassed, and she began to cover herself. And when the Sakis saw Radharani so embarrassed to see Krishna watching her all this time, they all began to laugh. And when they laughed, Sri Rupa Goswami also began to laugh, uncontrollably laughing. At that time, a Vaishnav came to visit Rupa Goswami. And he came in and offered his obeisances, and Rupa Goswami just laughed. This Vaishnav was very embarrassed. He's not saying anything, he's not acknowledging, he's just laughing. So he didn't know what to think. So he immediately went to Sanatana Goswami and said, "I don't know what's happening. I went to see your brother, Sri Rupa Goswami, and as soon as he saw me, he just started laughing at me. Please tell me, what is the truth?" Sanatana Goswami knew the heart of Rupa Goswami and explained everything. And then this Vaishnav felt doubly embarrassed. Why am I such a degraded, inconsiderate, fallen soul that I'm so unfortunate that I went to Rupa Goswami at that time? So he was lamenting. Meanwhile, back at the bhajan kutir, Rupa Goswami came out of his ecstatic absorption in Krishna's lila. He looked around in his house, and he noticed that a guest had come, and that he had neglected to do anything to serve that guest. So in his heart, he felt terrible distress that he had made an offense. So he immediately went to Sanatana Goswami to ask, "What should I do?" And as he went to Sanatana Goswami's house, this particular guest was there. And he fell at the feet of Sri Rupa Goswami and said, "I am sorry, I am sorry." Rupa Goswami said, "What?" He said, "I came to your house and you were engrossed in laughing due to the pastimes of Krishna and Sri Radharani, and I did not understand you, and I made an aparad. Please forgive me, please forgive me." And Rupa Goswami started repeatedly offering his obeisances to that Vaishnava. He said, "I neglected you. You were a guest. I am a criminal. I am an offender. Please forgive me." This was the humility of Sri Rupa Goswami. This story appears in the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Das, in which, as do many of these stories, he explains how this story shows how whoever we are, we must be very cautious and careful in our dealings with devotees, and we should never neglect them. And if somehow or other we make a mistake in our dealings with another Vaishnav, we should become, like Rupa Goswami's example, completely humble and beg forgiveness. When Sri Rupa Goswami became very old, and Srila Sanatan Goswami had already left this world, he was living in Vrindavan. Actually, so many of the desires of Rupa Goswami were being transcendentally fulfilled by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Govinda Dev was the life and soul of Rupa Goswami. One of the disciples of Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, whose name was the Raj Man Singh of Rajasthan, he was also a close associate of the Emperor Akbar. He had built the beautiful, beautiful seven-story temple for Sri Sri Radha Govinda. In fact, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami loved Srila Rupa Goswami so much. Not only did he build that temple for his deity, but he offered beautiful clothing and ornaments for Radha Govinda, which included a flute and earrings shaped like sharks. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he would never hear the fault of a devotee. If anyone, for any reason, was criticizing a Vaishnav, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would say, "I cannot hear. The fact that he's serving Krishna is all I know." After Sanatan Goswami's departure, Sri Rupa Goswami was living with the other Goswamis. They always wanted to see the deity of Gopal. Gopal was the murti originally installed by Vajranab on Govardhan Hill, which was rediscovered by Madhavendra Puri. But Lord Chaitanya, when he came to Vrindavan, he would never touch his foot to Govardhan Hill, because he considered Govardhan Hill to be non-different than the body of Krishna. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not go on the top of the hill to visit Gopal. But Gopal was longing to see Lord Chaitanya, just as Lord Chaitanya was longing to see Gopal. So by his own yogamaya potency, he had people run to the village and say, "The Muslims are coming!" So they took the deity down from the hill secretly and hid him in a village called Gantuli. And when Lord Chaitanya found out that Gopal was not on Govardhan Hill, so they took Gopal down from Govardhan Hill and they brought him to Mathura, where they hid him secretly in the house of the youngest son of Vallabhacharya, whose name was Vitaleshwar. When Rupa Goswami and his associates found out about that, they all went to Mathura. Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Kashishwar, they were all there together with Rupa Goswami, worshipping Sri Gopal, having wonderful kirtan, dancing and chanting the holy name. For 1 month, the devotees, all together in the intimacy of each other's association worshipped Gopal. And then they realized There was no Muslims. It was another rumor. It was the pastime of the Lord to reciprocate with the love of Sri Rupa Goswami. They brought Gopal back to Govardhan Hill. And after Srila Rupa Goswami disappeared from this world, Srila Jiva Goswami was naturally accepted as the leader of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He personally, along with the other associates of Lord Chaitanya, arranged the beautiful samadhi in the courtyard of Sri Radha Damodar Temple. In fact, Srila Prabhupada considered this place so important that in 1972, he called his devotees from all over the world to come to Vrindavan during the month of Kartik, where each day he was personally delivering lectures from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, right at the Samadhi Mandir of Sri Rupa Goswami in the courtyard of Radha Damodar. Who can imagine the ecstatic bliss that Srila Prabhupada must have experienced when he brought devotees from all over the world to be sitting at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami, hearing his most blessed, merciful book, Nectar of Devotion. Srinivas Acharya, longing to meet Lord Chaitanya and his associates, went to Puri only to find that Lord Chaitanya and his associates had already disappeared. But in a dream, Gadadhar Pandit told him to go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. When he was bathing in the Jamuna, in Mathura, at Vishram Ghat, he heard the news from some Brahmins speaking amongst each other that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had both disappeared from the world. Srinivas Acharya was plunged in grief. He decided, I should simply take my life. But then Rupa and Sanatan Goswami appeared to him in a dream. They told him that you should go to Vrindavan and you should take shelter of Sri Jiva Goswami and learn from him the scriptures. You should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswamis, because we are living in them. Simultaneously, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami appeared to both Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami and told Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Rupa Goswami said, you should initiate Srinivas Acharya. He is a very dear devotee. When Srinivas Acharya came to Vrindavan, he understood it was the mercy of Sri Rupa and Sanatan. And he also cried an ecstatic love of gratitude when he came to the Samadhi Mandir of Sri Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote many books, of which 16 books are very, very prominent. Amongst them, Srila Prabhupada has translated Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadesha Amrita. There's also Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, these books are great treasure houses which describe from the most beginning stages to the most elevated stages how we can progress in Krishna consciousness. Adoshatata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya. Rupa Goswami has composed this beautiful verse. that at the very beginning there's a little faith. Krishna reciprocates with that faith and from within our heart directs us to the association of devotees. In that association we learn the science of bhakti. Then we approach a spiritual master and he initiates us and puts us on the category of the Vaidhi Bhakti, where we follow the regulative principles of sadhana. It is called bhajana kriya. By chanting a fixed number of rounds every day, by following the regulative principles, and always being engaged in devotional service. Gradually our hearts become cleansed, anarta navritti, and all of the unwanted material desires and misconceptions are removed from our hearts. And then, through that gradual purification, we achieve nishtha, or very deep, strong faith in Krishna and the path of bhakti. By continuing in our spiritual advancement, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, ruchi, or the higher taste of the sweetness of devotional service, awakens in our heart. And then we develop very, very strong attachment to Krishna. Such attachment to Krishna that all other attachments become utterly insignificant. When we continue to cultivate devotional service under the guidance of Guru and Gauranga, in the association of Vaishnavas, gradually that ashakti becomes bhava, the preliminary state of love of God. And by the gradual cultivation of hearing and chanting, bhava becomes prema. In prema bhakti, ecstatic love of God, and the revelation of our eternal nature in the spiritual world is gradually revealed. Serving the Lord in Vrindavan, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhuryaras. Srila Rupa Goswami has brought us from the most preliminary state to the ultimate achievement of all spiritual quests, the treasure of prema bhakti, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami composed over 100,000 verses. In the Leela of Vrindavan, Srila Rupa Goswami is Sri Rupa Manjari. Our great acharyas have given us the explanation that the only means by which we could truly find the real spiritual satisfaction of the heart is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, Sri Radharani. Of Sri Radharani's expanded counterparts, the Sakis are her own most intimate servants. The leader of the Sakis is Lalita Saki. And the direct intimate assistants of the Sakis are the Manjaris. And the leader of all the Manjaris is Sri Rupa Manjari. And the Acharyas of our line are the servants of the servants of the servants of Sri Rupa Manjari. It is through the mercy of Sri Rupa Manjari that we can achieve the purification, first of all, of our gross material state now, and ultimately given a place as her own servant and assistant in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada has often told us that we are to never forget the glory of this great Sampradaya that he has given to us. The Gaudiya Sampradaya or the Rupanuga Sampradaya. So, today we are making some small attempt to speak some little partial portion of a drop of the glories of Sri Rupa Goswami. And we should very carefully and sincerely aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Rupa Goswami. How do we do this? By simply accepting the Guru Parampara, hearing submissively, carrying out the instructions, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in his most profound, mature realizations of the very essence of the heart of his Guru Maharaj, of Rupa Goswami and of Lord Chaitanya, he has presented us Krishna consciousness. He has presented the perfect and pure process by which we could all achieve the loving mercy of all the previous acharyas. By chanting the holy names, by serving this great mission, by distributing the books which are so much inspired by the teachings of Rupa Goswami, by simply assisting Srila Prabhupada in spreading Krishna consciousness, by simply performing our sadhana with great attention and sincerity, hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his names, by carefully following the teachings of Prabhupada, to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, to constantly chant the holy names, to surrender our lives to the mission of Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada's teachings are very simple but very complete and totally profound. By simply pleasing Srila Prabhupada and being the servant of the servant of his servants, we are being given the access to the complete, unlimited, all-merciful, compassionate blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami and all of our acharyas. Sri Rupa Goswami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gaur Bhakta Brinda ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi. Sorry for taking so much of your time. Thank you very much. Sri Giriraj Maharaj has patiently been tolerating like a tree, like a Kalpa Vriksha tree, for all these long hours. Would you like to speak something, please?
The Radha Damodar Temple is a very sacred place. It has the Pratibhu Murtis of Sri Sri Radha Damodar and other deities of other acharyas. The Bhajan Kutir and Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. The Samadhi of Sri Bhugarbha Goswami and the Samadhi of Srila Jiva Goswami, as well as Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the rooms of Srila Prabhupada, or Bhajan Kutir of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said that although generally devotees consider Sri Radha Kund to be the most sacred place in the universe, he considers the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami to be the most sacred place. And he used to see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami from his rooms. And he got inspiration from Srila Rupa Goswami specifically to go to the West and write his books. And following the order of Srila Rupa Goswami and, of course, his own spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada did leave Vrindavan, the Radha Damodar temple, and came to America and then traveled throughout the world. Coming to the samadhi of Sri Jiva Goswami, we remember how intensely he loved his gurus, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and how staunchly he served them, and especially how he defended them when directly or indirectly they were being attacked or minimized. And of course, because he was such a great scholar and so brilliant, he could defeat all opposition. So of course, we also want to defend Srila Prabhupada from persons who directly or indirectly attack him or minimize him. And therefore we have to know his teachings. Of course, we cannot be anywhere close to what Jiva Goswami was. But then again, we also don't have to confront Digvijay pundits either. But if we just study Srila Prabhupada's books again and again and discuss them, we will get sufficient strength to defend the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from all opposition. And as Srila Prabhupada said, that to eulogize the spiritual master is good. It is our duty to do so. But more important is to fight for the spiritual master, as Jiva Goswami fought for Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswamis. As His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj mentioned, Srila Prabhupada translated in a summary study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and verse by verse Sri Upadeshamrita. And he did great service to Rupa Goswami by making his teachings available in the English language. And then from the English language, Srila Prabhupada's translations have been rendered into practically every language in the world. And thus, Srila Prabhupada has engaged his followers in serving Srila Rupa Goswami by following his instructions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadeshamrita, and distributing Srila Rupa Goswami's teachings. And thus Srila Prabhupada is connecting us with Srila Rupa Goswami through service, following the instructions and spreading the teachings. And that is actually the duty of the spiritual master, to engage the disciples in the service of the previous spiritual masters, so that they can get the mercy of the previous spiritual masters. So Srila Prabhupada has done that for us, connected us with his Guru Maharaj, with all of the previous acharyas, and especially Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami wrote a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And in some of the more important places in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada not only summarizes Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but he actually also includes the translation or summary of the commentary of Jiva Goswami. So truly we are getting everything through Srila Prabhupada. And the best way to serve the previous acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is just to serve Srila Prabhupada. And all of you have the good fortune of being engaged by one of Srila Prabhupada's dearmost servants. And by his mercy, we are getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami and the previous acharyas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. After hearing this most inspired and genuine expression of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj's love for Srila Prabhupada, I think we should celebrate by having Guru Puja for Srila.